I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I missed you guys. Do you think people miss us?
Maybe.
Some people do comment about the podcast.
Yeah. I got a comment from my friend Brittany. She listened to it. She's pretty religious in her listening to the podcast, and she heard it. The episode where we talked about Grey's Anatomy and stuff.
What exactly did Brittany say specifically about me?
I don't know. She mentioned your name casually.
People love... When Gary's been drinking. I've not been drinking tonight. So it may not. If those are the only podcasts you tune in for, let me know. I'll drink more.
Is that going to be your whole personality
that
now?
That could be my...
Your shtick.
I'm not much different. A little more obnoxious.
Yes. Louder. Yes.
Guys, listen. Last weekend. Also, we promised Haley Trout.
Haley Trout, shout out.
We could just dedicate this whole episode to her.
It's dedicated to her. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
So I don't.
I don't take Gary out in public very much. That's exactly what she was about to say.
It's not that I don't take you out.
You don't take me out in public.
You don't want to go anywhere with
that's
me.
True. No, I want to go places with you. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. Everybody's not my cup of tea. Sometimes it's of a mutual benefit that I just stay home.
Maybe. So we had an opportunity to go hang out with some friends, and for Emily's birthday, she turned 30.
With some of Abby's friends.
Yes. And, you know, couples like do things. They go to events together. And I think this is one part of our relationship we did not do a lot early on, you think? I went a lot of places with you, to your events.
Yeah, I probably owe you a bunch.
Yeah. Gary just kind of hung back, did his thing. Or, you know, he was working. So we are now...
The breadwinner.
Okay. Okay. It's funny. I mean, we've been married for damn near 20 years.
Almost 20 years.
And
we old as hell.
We're like, hey, you want to... do a couple things together. And so we go to a party, and we,
like, the last couple years I have rarely said no to anything.
Yeah, it was sort of a, even like pre-Harlan kind of a thing. You did.
just do it.
So suffering at this party greatness. There would be people that Gary knew, but there were going to be people that I didn't really know. And that Gary absolutely had no clue who they were. I don't know at what point things got twisted, but it was like the first entire bottle of bourbon that was gone. Then I was like, oh, I'm the driver. I'm driving. He's also going to start talking, dear God. Like, at one point I look over and he has cornered Haley Trout. And I don't think
I cornered her. I think it was very mutual. She was on one side of the table, I was on the other.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't even want to know like what type of either a relationship advice or career advice he is bestowing at this moment.
I don't
moment.
Think it was either.
I couldn't even imagine. And of course, it was not long that Gary like found it just took a couple of people to be like, he reminds us of blah, blah, blah. And oh, you know, this comedian and Gary, like, and bourbon was mentioned and Gary's like, green light. I've got the green light to go. Let me tell you about my prostate exam. And it was like he had the entire damn room held hostage yelling about his prostate exam.
And you think I'd be a good stand-up comedian?
I mean,
I'd have to develop some material. I got way some base material.
Way more than your prostate. Maybe. Maybe you could. It's just, I'm sitting there with people that either like I work with, I have taught.
First of all, they're all younger than us, yeah. So I don't care. Respect your elders.
Love being environments. I don't know why, but I enjoy environments where like there is a lot of age difference in the room. And I like observing it and being in it and like talking to different groups of people. And I can switch really fast into those things. I think that's something I've always been good at. I don't have, but I'm going to get into like a deep, like hopes and dreams, what's going on in your life conversation with you really fast, because I don't know how to do
small talk.
Small talk. Gary just walked up to one poor girl who had braces, and she's not like young. She's younger than us. And Gary, like, insults her braces immediately.
I didn't insult her braces.
You just couldn't not mention. I offered
her bourbon, said, told her it wouldn't stain her braces.
You just couldn't not mention that she was wearing braces.
Listen.
Like, I would completely ignore the braces because she has her reasons. I'm not here to judge. Gary's like, what up with you wearing braces?
I mean, not a lot of adults have braces.
They do.
Or I mean,
do
sure. Like, I'm not saying zero don't have braces, but it's usually something you take. Like we talked about pricing for braces. I mean, listen.
You made here's that connection as a benefactor of braces.
As somebody who's bought braces,
at one point I heard her say, consumer. "I'm an adult and I can buy my own braces to you," and I was like, "Jesus, what's he saying?"
I feel like. My shtick is anytime, and I'm just had an epiphany. It's always got to be all about me.
You just had that epiphany.
First of all, I was getting real worried that Matt and Micah weren't coming. Yes. And then I'd be stuck there. So at least I had Matt there. And so.
I think that little tiny bit of comfort just sends you over the edge because it's countered with the
They didn't kick me out, so and apparently y'all are still friends, so I mean, I chalk that up as a success.
It's just,
will I get invited back at some point? Who's to say?
I don't think you like insulted anyone. You were just really boisterous. Yeah. It's so funny because we've acted so shocked and like, where does Charlie get her love for the theater? And like, I'm like, I dabbled in some theater and public speech and drama in school.
Yeah, I command a crowd.
But I like competed against people who had, like I was in competition rooms and plays where people had to be there.
So what you're saying is there's no competition when I'm in a room.
I was in
validation a place
where there is people were held hostage to watch the show. You, however, just take hostages. You're like, you know what? This might be her 30th birthday, but let's talk about me.
Fair enough. Also, on the same token, I had to write a memoir.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of you.
And so what did I write my memoir about?
Well, first you asked me what a memoir was, and I told you.
That's how much I'm being taught in my class.
That I told you that. A lot of times people write memoir about place or people that are important to them. And she said,
or an experience.
I said, but like I shared that I've written about like my grandparents' home and my grandmother. And I was like, those were memoirs. Mm-hmm. Gary was like, you know what is a memoir to me? My prostate exam.
That's right.
Wrote it up. I feel like.
What grade did I get, Abby?
An A.
What type of A?
100.
That's right.
Are we sure he's even reading these?
I don't know, but I also got an invitation to have it published in some kind of.
No, you did not.
Swear to
bullshit.
God.
Bullshit.
Let me read it to you.
Are you this, serious?
I mean, Abby writes way better than me.
I swear to God.
But so they... this is from my teacher. I only commented on structural errors, but last year the college started an online literary and arts journal called The Writerly. We put out our first digital issue in the spring of last year. We are looking for other journal entries for this spring. The categories are fiction and nonfiction, such as your memoir. I could put photography in there. It says I've given you a link below. See the guidelines. Submit your memoir or any other piece of personal writing that you have completed, and you want me to look over or help you workshop it. I will help in any way I can.
That's a personal message to you.
Yeah, that's on my assignment.
Wow.
And guys, I wrote this in less than 30 minutes.
It's ridiculous. I think your delivery is much better than your oral delivery is better than your written.
I wrote it. If you've heard the story out of my mouth, I wrote it exactly like that.
Except no profanity.
Yeah, I mean, I had to keep it classy for a grade.
And no mention of, like, well, never mind. I'm going to move into that section of the story.
So. I know which section you're talking about.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
So, yeah, we're like, oh, we'll go to this party. We'll come and podcast. 1 a.m., we are in the Waffle House, and there's no place I would rather be on a Saturday night, drunk as a skunk, than in the Waffle House.
It's the best place to be.
We had to wait at the Waffle House, which was a first. They had, like, the counter.
It was closed.
And it was they only had one waitress, but they're like, oh, the counter's closed.
And the girl gave me a straight-up heads-up tip. She was like, girl, you do not want the gravy right now.
She did say that. She gave me the heads-up.
So I, like, panicked, and Gary was like, just get pork chops. And I was like, I did not need to eat a plate of pork chops, but I sure did.
I puked in Jason and Emily's yard, so.
I'm pretty sure their dog ate it.
That protein. City barbecue. Remix.
Oh, man.
I rallied. I puked. Let's go to Waffle House.
Let's go to Waffle House.
My stomach was on E. So, yeah, it was a fun weekend.
It was.
Then the Super Bowl happened on Sunday. So we get in. It's like 2:00 in the morning.
Our daughter has babysat our son, and they're both passed out asleep on the couch together.
Yeah. So I go lay in the bed. Immediately, Harlan gets up. So I lay on the couch, right? It's almost 2:30. I'm laying there, room spinning. I mean, it's memories, right? So I'm like, all right, I'm going to sleep here.
You got to do that trick where you put your one foot on the floor and one hand on the wall. Works every time.
It wasn't too bad. It didn't keep me awake.
Gotcha.
So, I'm like, I'll sleep here. Abby knows I'm in bad shape. 6:30. Hey, Dad. Where'd you come from? Want to watch PBS Kids? Bloopers?
PBS Kids. Bloopers? Please?
I was like, bro, here's my phone.
Here's the password.
Somebody else is going to wake up before I do. Have at it, bro.
I don't know. He watched a lot of YouTube, I bet. Between Charlie babysitting him and you coming to you in the morning.
Charlie's going, what are you guys doing? Are you coming home?
Is it 2:00? Huh? Are you serious?
All right, Mom.
And then I got like some text message. Harlan's not going down easy. He's not going to sleep. I guess you're just not going to get your clean house. Okay. All right.
Amazing.
You've had your fun. Go to bed.
Yeah.
Well, are you all coming home anytime soon? I'm going to bed.
I am not waiting up on you any longer.
Good night. Oh, my God. That one. They're a mess. She bought Sylvia Plath the bell jar. Like super just angsty, you know, like.
I don't know, but. I mean, being a scholar, you'd think I know. But
you should.
I should.
As you should.
I mean, English isn't my. It isn't the field I'm looking into, but it's obvious I'm distinguished in that, so.
Okay. You're loving yourself. You keep going. You're trying to find a way to dig.
I'm not. So, did everyone enjoy the Super Bowl halftime show?
No, they didn't. No, they did not.
You did after the fact.
Yes.
So, Charlie's Christmas present was going to see Waitress.
Yes.
Paid no attention when the Super Bowl was. Picked this date because
it was honestly the only day
we could do. Yeah, we're literally booked up from now until June, and it sucks, and I hate every bit of it, but
this
get in where you fit in.
Right. And you know, luckily we had like her play schedule ahead of time to make sure we weren't interfering with that, and we had to go on a Sunday night, which I was like, that's a little icky, but she absolutely wants to see this play. It's a musical, and it was really cool. It was really awesome. We had a little hiccup when we first got there because
there was some thick up.
Yeah.
Pull it down a little bit.
The seats were, is that better?
Yeah.
Sorry. The seats were at the very top in the very back. And
first of all, when I looked at the seats online, like you see the view, and I was like, oh, that's a good view.
It was not a good view.
Like, I ain't paying $150 for like whatever it is, like that, the lower level.
Yeah. Well, we clearly need to change my life and get to be hella skinny. I don't even know if like at my skinniest I would have felt comfortable.
So when I went there, I sat on the edge.
Yeah, the aisle. I did too.
Which is perfect for like leg room.
I don't think you were on the top. I don't think you were in the loft. I think you were on the second floor. We were on the third floor.
Yeah, we were on the second floor.
Okay. Third floor. It's a little tight up there in the loft.
That's what she said.
So we're on the end, and Charlie and I are like, okay, if this, you know, no one comes, no one else comes. And like, there are three seats left in our row. And I'm like, girl, you're going to get to scoot over. You can see it's going to be okay. Cause she was kind of pissy about it and trying not to be pissy, but also she was pissed that it was just, you could not see this one part of the stage. Like it'd be their right side of the stage where turns out a lot of action happens on this side of the stage. So, I mean, on cue, it is 1 minute before curtain, and these three women show up.
They are heifers roll in.
We had to literally get out of our seats and go out of the row and all the way down the stairs for them to get through. There was no way we could all. They couldn't just casually pass over us with us standing.
Right.
Not only that, so Charlie was literally on top of me. I'm trying to get into the row. The seats jamming into me. They ended up being talkers. They talked.
I hate that. Movies. I mean, I've not been to a ton of plays.
But like a character would do something like, oh man, what a jerk. Oh, are you kidding me? That's right. That's right. And Charlie was like looking at me like, what are they doing? Because this was just not good etiquette, you know? But she's over it.
Is there a manual for that?
I don't know. I mean, I assume that people know that just out of, then like down below us, there was a guy who just laughed super extra loud and at everything. So between that, she was like, what the hell? Like, where are we? What is this? This,
yeah. You know?
And it gets into it. She hears like one of her favorite songs, and I can just kind of see her mood lighten. And she was.
Were they good?
Oh, it was amazing.
Like
the performers were awesome. The play itself is really cool. It's written, the music is written by Sarah Bareilles. And I thought the movie was based on the play.
I didn't know there was a movie.
Yeah. There's a movie about it, but it's based on that movie. And then she wrote the music. So it's modern. They've got like a little band on stage the entire time.
Like how Jimmy Fallon has the roots.
Sort of.
They've got their own.
Yeah. And they're just sitting, they're a part of the play the entire, there's no pit, you know? It mostly all takes place in a pie diner and then a gynecologist's office. To which, you know, I'm like, oh, there's going to be talk of like
gynecology.
Babies, gynecology, but there's an affair. And there's actually two affairs and one budding relationship. And in one particular scene,
it was a free for all.
There was a lot of sexual acts happening.
Mm-hmm. Describe the pie. That was my favorite. That's what I've told everybody.
So she's lying on the table, the syrup table, you know? And so she makes pies. This is like her whole thing. She is this renowned pie maker.
Cream pies.
And she has a pie. She has her legs up in the air, straight up in the air, straddled, and puts a pie right there on her lower pubic area.
The poontang pie.
And the guy puts his head into the pie.
Motorboats it?
Yeah, very American pie. All right. I can just feel her, like, she's eyeballing me, eyeballing the stage, and, like, we're just in this, like, I don't want to make eye contact with her. So I'm just closing my eyes, shaking my head, like.
What were the chatterers saying in this?
We had moved at this time. Oh, okay. We found an open row, and we took it, just two rows down, so we didn't have to listen to them.
Take that pie, girl.
Then there's another scene directly to the side of
that.
So
they just hit the sexual innuendo back to back.
It wasn't an innuendo. It was straight up sex. And there's like a couple having sex, but they're in costume because they're both Revolutionary War reenactors.
Oh, yeah.
And he's Paul Revere.
Love
and she's Betsy
fetish.
Ross. And she screams, "The British are coming." And he does.
Is he British? That'd make it even better.
No, well, he just, "The British are coming." And Charlie dies.
Does she laugh?
Yes. Funniest thing she's ever heard. And then, like, we're 5 minutes away from that scene. She goes, "The British are coming." And I was like, "God bless."
I mean, they're all technically British at that point.
Get me out of it. Like, she's 13. And Laffer Man, he's beside himself. You know, he is so tickled.
Slapping his knee.
Oh, it's hilarious to him. But
I love it.
Aside from that, like, there's some heavy emotion in it. It's a wonderful musical.
And didn't you say before the pandemic when you went and saw it, you got a pie?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was on Broadway. They actually had pie for you. I don't know if they actually they had drinks there that were pie inspired that you could get.
Did you have to buy them?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's one of the highest concession stands I ever saw in my life.
Oh, shit. Charlie was like, "Oh, M&M's," and when I got a drink, she got a drink. And I was like, "What the hell? There went your money, sis." And that she forgot in her coat pocket upstairs. And I was like, I guess I got this. All right. You were supposed to buy concessions.
Scammer.
So, but it was.
So, all that to say, Abby missed the Super Bowl.
I missed the Super Bowl. It was the one time that, like,
it was our time to shine
in the Super Bowl. Like, I was thinking, like, I don't know if there will be a time again where there will be musical artists that I'm like really into performing at the Super Bowl. Like, mm-hmm. the nostalgia, my people, I knew the music, I knew the song, that was it. And I didn't get to see it live. I had to download an app and it had commercials. So I'd be like really getting into it.
Like, it was almost as soon as they would transition performers, there'd be a commercial.
Like, so frustrating. But I think it was a great show. It's so funny.
It was a good game.
It's so funny, the people that, like, it cut off two generations, like the before us and after us, you know, or, you know, older people and younger people were just kind of like,
you know? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You know, like, so it was very clearly this Gen X, Zennial, Gen.
And then they're like, immediately after on Facebook, they're talking about the ages of the performers, like, in their 50s. And you're like, holy shit.
They're in their 50s.
Wait, that's only 10 years older than us.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at, because Charlie asked me about Dre, and I was like, I know he's older than me, but like,
he's what, 56?
56, 54, 56. I was like, what the hell? What? And then I didn't know
he was in good shape.
Well, that, I didn't know he was related to Warren G. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. We were reading up on stuff. So she is now listening to Dre and Snoop, and then I caught her listening to Tupac.
Yes, my girl.
She was rapping Hit 'Em Up.
So how many people do you think thought, so first of all, I don't know if it's kind of nuanced. There's a piano part.
Yeah.
That's I Ain't Mad At You, which is Tupac. And I think that's symbolic because there was beef when Tupac died.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, California Love.
Yes.
And you're like,
Come on now.
Come. Where's the hologram? At least give me the hologram. Yes. Which I went back and watched the hologram. It didn't look too good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it wasn't like, it was cool. But we're talking, what was that, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
It wasn't that special.
Could they have, like, I don't know, done something? They could have done something to even incorporate him.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, I think so, but it was class. I mean, it was good what they did do. I like the piano. I like the, and because that gave that transition to him playing the piano, which is Charlie randomly knows how to play that on piano.
Good for her.
So, I don't know. I really enjoyed it. She said, I get weird listening to Hit 'Em Up, and she was like, this is Logan Paul and Jake Paul. They don't even know a diss track. I was like, please tell me what you know about a diss track. Yeah. I mean, she was like, what was it like, East Side and South? And I was like, Jesus, Charlie. Coasts. Try coasts.
You know, if you want to listen to Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, 50 Cent, Mary J. Blige, all that, and celebrate Black History Month, do I have a deal for you? You can honor Black History Month with Amazon Music. That's right. You can go to getamazonmusic.com/closeenough. They've added a bunch of new stuff like Black Culture Radio. You can listen to podcasts like Group Thread and Connected. They have a bunch of playlists with R&B artists, hip-hop, all that stuff.
That's how we listen.
And for you, just you listening, special offer, 3 months. That's going to get you through Black History Month.
Women's History Month.
March is, what's in March? Abby's birthday.
I just said Women's History Month, but okay, keep going.
Is that a thing?
It legit is a thing.
Okay.
Just keep talking.
What's April? April flowers bring, or April showers bring rain flowers?
April's National Poetry Month.
Yeah. Well, all that for you. getamazonmusic.com/closeenough. If you want to cancel at any time, you can. Don't be like our dumbass daughter and not cancel.
Yep. Gary, why do we have a $9 charge to our credit card?
to Amazon Music. Wait, we get it free. What? Charlie
added a little, got her a little free account. To her iPod, not a phone. Still,
she's a long way away.
We attempted the conversation. We are pushing that date back for a later approach.
So, but you and I,
yes,
party differently. So we went through kind of every party that I've ever been to. That's kind of, if I get drunk, that's how I act.
But
if I'm not drunk, I'm chill in the corner. Kind of watching.
I'm friendly. I'm trying to think of like one where you've not been drinking.
That makes me sound amazing.
Yeah. It's rare that we both like let our hair down together.
Yeah. So you've heard the story of me and how I act. And then there's Abby's ankle and and how she just wants to ground herself and be one with Earth.
That's not true.
That's literally the last two.
Anyway.
Okay.
My general vibe is seriously, like, I will go talk to people and I just want to sit and talk. And if there's like music, that's wonderful. I love just laughing and joking, and I'm going to be that person that will bring up like memories or jokes that we all share together. I'm not going to just randomly tell stories.
Personal stories.
I may tell stories that involve all of us.
That's how you become closer with people.
But I definitely find myself like going all in conversations with people where I'm going to hit something like deep, like minutes. There have been times where, like, the moment people find out I'm a teacher or something about me teaching, we're talking about education. It never
fails. That's true. That is true.
It never fails, whether I've initiated or not.
Abby Save the World campaign.
Well, there's this story. You know, we went, I don't know if you remember this, but we were in the car. We were on a trip out of town with people that Gary definitely knew. And we're in Florida. And I really didn't. I knew the people just through Gary,
right.
And there was a whole other couple there that I did not know at all.
Right.
At all. We get in the car to go to a restaurant the very first night we're there. Like, drop your luggage off. We've met these people very casually. I think we laid on the beach together.
I got drunk then.
Minimal conversations. By the end of the car ride, like, I have this one particular person's entire trauma story involving her son and another relationship. And it's, but it all came out of.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a high school. What do you do? I'm a high school teacher. Boom. Conversation explodes. Or I was a middle.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
School teacher at the time.
Well, it's fair. It's everybody has a story about a teacher.
Sure, sure. Know? Or they have kids and they're, you know, wanting to talk about that or whatever. But that usually happens. Or like I will just go into like launch into deeper conversation to avoid. I don't know how to be like. So what? What do you do for a living? Where are you from? Like, I can't connect.
Oh, I don't know about anything other right. than teaching, like, really.
That's unfair.
No. I'm like businessy, like, you know.
I think that's really unfair.
But I didn't mean to disrespect you with that.
It sounded a little disrespectful. I do know things. I know a lot of things. But
I know lots of things.
You can talk about, like, you can just pick up on, you can bullshit so well. I can't. I don't know how to bullshit. And your memories of places and things are different than mine. So I can't, like, if you ask somebody where they're from, you generally can like make weird connections to that place. And I don't have anything to offer. Like, is there a school there? Is there, do you have rivers and or lakes? Like, I don't know. What's your state bird? I'm just really bad at that and just so awkward and self-conscious when I talk to people.
But we're both very more, I mean, even sober, we're very much more outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's the social lubricant.
Mm-hmm. I casually said to you this weekend, like, well, maybe you just have something like a little social lubricant, you know, just to kind of
squeeze you. And it was like whole tube of KY.
He was slippery. Damn slippery. Fast. And it happened so fast. Like, I think I went and got a plate of food.
He's so fast.
I went and got a plate of food that I didn't finish because I was like, I need to go talk to this person over here. And I jumped tables really fast, got stuck there for a while. By the time I come back, I'm like, oh, hell. Because I see the empty burp.
She is. Abby's like, don't. Gary Wayne. I'm like,
you got a little questionable. Bullshit. And you knew it. And I'm not going to tolerate ugly. So.
Fine.
Oh. But it's just funny that you can just, but that's any situation we're in. You are going to be able to chat people up, small talk. And I'm just, I mean, look at us at the gym, you know.
That's true.
I'm not going to.
I would like to try to go to the gym at all this week.
I feel miserable. I hate myself. I'm just.
I did go see Jeremy this week.
You saw Jeremy. I saw Shelly. I had my annual wellness check that just was pathetic.
I don't mean to be disrespectful.
Shit.
But if you don't know me, it may sound a little.
It 100% sounds disrespectful.
So I have to go back. As the last episode, I detailed my doctor visit. So I had to go back. They were going to check my blood pressure. All this. I mean, nothing earth shattering. So I go in there, check my blood pressure. It's good. The doctor comes in, said, well, your blood pressure is good. See you in 3 months. I said, Jeremy, we could have done this in a text. He said, I can't check your blood pressure through a text. I was like, well, you should trust me that I check it. And he always has a medical student with him. And I look at her and I was like, that could be your innovation. Text health.
Oh, my God. The fact that you have.
And then, for spite, the motherfucker leaves me in there for like 15 minutes waiting to get my appointment card.
You have the audacity to look at someone and tell them how to do their job.
Listen.
You're such a white guy. Like, of course you would.
I'm trying to be funny. And then, so this is the part that got me.
At the doctor's office?
The nurse comes back with my appointment card. She's, oh, we've got a bunch of these. Oh, we're just giving them out to everybody. Here you go. So she gives me this stuff. I take it. I look at my appointment card. Get out the car. I look at what it is. These little pamphlets, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first one is 75 ways to improve your heart. And I'm like, wait, hold up. The second one is CPR steps. I'm like, these motherfuckers. I'm about to die. They are tired of my shit.
They're like, you know what? You know what? You are an asshole. You're probably just take these.
Listen, I'm.
You're on your own.
Me and Kathy, the nurse, we're cool. She's like, oh, you've lost a little weight. I was like, thank you. I was like, you smell good. Of course I did.
What the hell? That's so weird. What is wrong with you?
Tit for tat. I don't know. What else was I going to say? That mask makes your nose look great.
You said you smell good.
She did smell good. What the fuck am I supposed to say?
Not that.
Is that weird? Like,
no, just say thank you. Just say thank you.
I got to be reciprocal.
You don't.
I got into their whole scheduling. Like, I was like, oh, so you're about to go home? She's like, oh, no, I'm here till 6. I was like, damn, y'all open till 6? That's crazy.
I was like,
that's a long day. She's like, well, I only work 4 days a week. I was like, do you like get off? Are you off Monday? Do you get like Friday, Saturday, or you get Saturday, Sunday, Monday? She's like, nah, I get off Thursday. I said, man, that sucks.
No, it doesn't.
Work two, off one. Work one, off two.
I'm here for it. You can get so many things done on a Thursday. Things are open. That'd be nice.
I did like having, like, my favorite days off were Sunday and Monday.
I would love to have one of my days off be a weekday when other things in the world are open.
True. But also, we've talked about this today. When you're younger, right, time is not as important. Like, you fill your time up with the dumbest shit.
Yeah.
Or work or whatever. Like, time is not, you don't value your time as much until you know, you got less in the hourglass than you started with.
Right. I would go in on Sundays and stay all day at work and skip whatever I had to do.
I mean, before we had kids, you leave before the sun came up and came home at dark. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it just the shift of all that. And I was doing.
I used to go to work for fun.
Yeah.
I used to go hang out for fun.
Yeah. I would. And I was coaching. So I was like trying in my head, like, all of this was purposeful and intentional, and you give your time, which in teaching, it's kind of like, it's a really big conversation now about like, so there's this big, you know, if I get on Twitter right now, and this is just my
Twitter
or TikTok, my algorithm will pull up a lot of teachers who are leaving the classroom. People that are my age, like anywhere from 10 years, 17 years. And then you'll have a few like, 3, 4, 5 year, you know, teachers just walking away saying, I'm done. That it's significantly before their retirement time.
Yeah.
And so much of it, and the thing that they will quote is this concept of, you know, how much time and free labor teachers essentially give.
Right.
To their career. And I did that thinking, like, number one, that was the only way I could teach. And I still have trouble with that. Like, I think that's the only way I can be successful as a teacher is to do that. And I would coach, you know, and I think if you take like a coaching stipend and you look at like the hours that a coach puts in versus what that paycheck is. It's, you know, it's nothing, you know, for an hourly wage for what you do. And, you know, my time was so full with all of that that I wasn't out, you know, doing other things. And then the only money I'm bringing in is very...
Right.
Not mean. I mean, it's adequate.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, you know, lucrative by any means.
Yeah.
So I have thrown all this time in something. And now I'm looking at it like, shit, you know, we need...
What did I get out of that?
What if I...
I didn't get a damn thing out of that.
In some TikTok, I think I sent it to you. I don't know. It was like, on your weekends, don't escape from the life you have. Don't spend the time escaping from the life you have. Build the life you want. And it's like people doing something, whether it's like doing home improvement to make their house a more like peaceful landscape, like they're doing yard work to put a fire.
Is it ever drugs? Is like,
right? And like, I'm like, wait a minute. But if I'm every weekend, I'm building the life I want to live. When do I get to escape and just do nothing? Yeah. Like, is that a possibility? But
thanks, Biden.
I don't know what that has to do with shit. But yeah, I do have, I don't regret teaching ever, and I'll never regret teaching and choosing that as a career, but what could we have done differently, like financially, when we were younger and not dumbasses and spent all of our money on
trips and...
No, it was food.
That's all. That's still our main, like...
Like this week, we were horrible because I couldn't...
We had no time.
We had no time. So... I draw, you know.
I did cook one night.
Yeah. Sunday night comes, and I've been at a theater until 9 o'clock, and I try lesson planning and getting some stuff together for the next day.
Stove's made a tremendous steak.
I'm jealous. I had.
And pork chop.
I did have Chewy's though that night, so it was really good. Baja talk. I am down for some good tacos these days.
Like, I know. Like, you had tacos
street
today.
Tacos.
The kids aren't here, guys. We had a night. We went and ate, and then like.
Went to Kroger, got our medicine.
You went to the Kroger pharmacy?
Up our prescriptions.
That's right.
We should have got our little treats out there instead of DoorDashing.
And so for the first time, we DoorDashed.
Little Shamrock. Shamrock Shake, Shamrock.
Sunday.
So I'm obese at this point. Like, it's just, I mean, my doctor even offered me Atapex prescription, and I said no.
My doctor said... How about you eat better and exercise?
I want to. And I'm like,
Do you know how blanket of a fucking...
On. No, I can beat this.
Okay.
She's like, you know, I think you can do, I think you can just, you know, you can get there. And I'm like, I am tired
but she can't.
All the time. Stop.
No offense.
I am tired.
All disrespect.
All the time. You know, I'm exhausted more than I have ever been. And I don't know. And she's like, yeah, a lot of us are feeling that. And she's like, if there's anything you need, let me know. I'm like... I am tired all the time.
I need methamphetamine.
Give me the meth. You know, like, do you know, she's like, my blood work looked great. Everything, you know, I haven't done my cholesterol yet, but I'll do that in a couple of weeks at school. And I told her my numbers from last year.
Why didn't she?
They didn't check it with my blood panel. It just, you know, she's like, have you ever had that checked? I was like, yeah. And I told her my number's like 152.
Hey, mine, was it really?
Yeah.
Shit, mine's like 195.
Yeah, as long as you're under 200, it's good. Right. She's like, well, perfect. But you got to get those omega-3s, man. You got to eat almonds and your...
I've been eating the shit out of tuna.
Salmons and... I don't eat tuna as fat enough. Anyway, so she's like...
Dropping our fitness podcast.
She's like, so... Fuck. Sorry. That one caught me off guard. So she's like, you know, I just feel like, you know, things that worked for me was like the buddy system. I think that's why Weight Watchers work so good. And I'm like... deep into podcast and shit about like why Weight Watchers does not work for people, why it is like not, it's not the way, like it works when it works, but
that's very expound on that.
Well, it doesn't, it's not long term.
It only works if
it's not long term, right? It's not
how anything is,
and it creates the good food bad food mentality, right? with your eating.
I think it's a little more inclusive because everything's assigned like a point value.
Well,
and for some reason, the very first time,
but they
I
switch,
think you.
But here's the thing.
I was gonna say, the very first time you did it, and we had the whole scale. Remember, they had yes. the, But now it's like, oh, you can have 7,000 points a week and they can carry over and you can eat three pizzas on a Friday. And you're like, what the fuck is this shit?
But if you walk, you can do this, but you can't have a piece of bread. Like, that's, it doesn't make any sense. So it's a really weird formula, first of all.
Shout out Weight Watchers.
And then keep changing the numbers on it. Anyway.
Give you like medallions, like you're an AA or something.
They used to, yeah. So, and the app is crazy expensive, but they will email you and text you if you have ever had the Weight Watchers app.
Yeah, we paid for that for a while.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how to turn it off. So
that's your, if you want some passive income from the Thomas family, just have us sign up for something that we can quit, but we'll never figure out how to quit it.
We tried ABC Mouse for how long?
That was a solid 4 years.
I was like, are we still getting charged $11.99?
That was with Charlie.
Yes. I think we were like, well, here, Harlan. Shit.
Charlie's in the third grade. We're like, fucking ABC Mouse again.
So anyway, she was like telling me like accountability systems are good. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Like, I've heard that about.
I know. But I'm like, I love going to the gym. I love how, she was like, well, just pay attention to how you feel on those days. Like, did you not sleep good? I'm not sleeping well.
Here's what I would have said. Did you go to medical school to ask these dumb fucking questions?
So I'm
with all due respect, doctor.
I know. So maybe I should have just shut the hell up and taken.
See, we could be doctors. We could be internet doctors.
I know so much from TikTok. So I should have just taken the Adipex and had the energy, but it makes me so fucking mean. It makes me hyper fixate on things.
That's the benefit.
And I'm like, I don't like who I am. And then I'll
imagine if you popped one this morning, this house would have been spotless.
Now, you give me that and a solid phone call with somebody.
Shit, you know it's that's true. The side hustle.
That is.
So this whole conversation is leading into side hustles because Abby had a friend approach her about doing a little something on the side.
And listen, I am a stipend whore. Like,
she's going to the state wrestling tournament on Monday.
Because I'm a wrestling coach. So they're like, there's a job opening. I'm like, I can do that. Prom, I got you.
You want me to take you on a trip?
I got you.
$3,000.
I'm like, why club sponsor? Yes, kids, I'll do. I'm also a sucker when kids come to me and they're like, will you please be the sponsor? Nobody else will do it. Oh, okay. And so I'm in on these things. But I genuinely like the things I enjoy doing those things. But anyway, I have done some crazy stuff. Like, is there a stipend with that? I'm in.
Borderline prostitution.
For just education. No sex. Like, I've done tutoring and stuff, and I enjoy that. I just don't have the confidence in myself to tell you. Like, there's a woman out there making money tutoring kids for ACT, like, gobs of it. Gobs of it. She calls her, I don't want to, like, out her. She's like, I think she just goes by the
ACT guru.
It's ACT mom, but she's changed her name to something to be more inclusive of other tests and stuff.
Who's taking the SAT these days?
People do. It's a thing. Depends like what college you're going into, and some people can be more successful on that. Plus the PSAT can qualify you for national honors, national merit scholars. Anyway, I don't have the confidence in myself as a teacher, like sometimes to say, let me tutor you and improve that test score. Because what if I don't? What if you don't get better?
That's
I
just the took thing. Your money. No guarantees in life.
Here's your money back. Like, I don't
know. No refund.
I feel so guilty.
Kid's fucking stupid.
That's not true.
That's what I'd say.
That's not true.
Say, listen, little Johnny's a dumbass.
Stop.
He's unteachable.
So I'm always like,
you got an 11 on the ACT for a fucking reason.
Gary, know that, like, I do know things and I can help them. I always get, I'm too insecure about that. However, so on that note, somebody reaches out and they're like, hey, they really want experience. They're specifically reaching out for experienced people. She's like, I thought of you. Part of me knows that she's probably getting a signing bonus if she
right,
gets
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm
like a recruiter.
Aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fully aware.
That's
of
cool.
That.
Like, I'm down with that.
Right. But it was like a $40 an hour gig.
Did you tell Seth?
I can tell him. Yeah.
Ni hao, motherfucker.
Gary.
It's Chinese people. What are you talking about? I mean, I can speak Chinese.
No. Stop. So anyway, it was tutoring, but it was definitely going to be before school. The times are all like pre 7 a.m., post 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, I can do that. I have an hour, and she's been doing it, and she like has an extra $1,000 this month alone. I'm like, God, do that. Toss that aside in a little safety, account, that savings account that I'll not touch. And you know, we have a down payment for a house.
We could make way more money if we sold drugs.
We could. But I mean, I had to have this real conversation with Gary because I was the only thing is
here's the crazy part. I was the voice of reason. I was like, hey, you don't have time to do this shit. Back to Abby's doctor's appointment, part of this whole thing, not having time and this and that. I'm going to say we lived here.
Mm-hmm.
Abby had a CPAP machine.
Mm-hmm. It's in the closet.
Full-blown sleep apnea.
No, it was mild. She looked up my record.
She's discarded that. She outgrew it.
I hate it.
Being the doctor and herself, she...
But I
anyway, part of
what I lost weight, and I didn't feel the same anxiety. I also changed my job, so a lot of my sleep improved. Then I had a fucking baby, and I swear to God, I'm in like perimenopause, and my hormones are jacked up. My energy is all over the place, and also I'm teaching in the middle of a fucking pandemic. Like. I heard
that excuse worked in 2020.
I don't care. My job is still so much harder than it has ever. It was harder. It's harder now than it was then.
And people put undue, like I'm reading this shit. Listen, I talk all this shit about how I'm going to come in and improve education. And that's a fact.
Okay.
Like, but anyway. I look at this shit coming out of Frankfurt and these other states. I'm like, who in the fuck do these people think they are?
100%. This is all an effort to disassemble, destroy
public education
so that the only thing that looks good is privatization and charter schools so that people, it's not because they want schools to be better, it's because they want their pockets to be fatter.
There's a world where that can both happen.
Not for us. We will.
That's right. We need to start a church and then church school and then bam, our own doctrine. I joke. But no.
Did I tell you I found that book at Goodwill?
The Way Down, yeah.
And I wanted to buy it, but then I was like, that's stupid. Don't do that.
We don't need that book. What if it works?
What if I just read this little chapter?
You want a shamrock shake? Take it to Jesus.
I did not take it to Jesus. He brought it to me.
But going back to the side hustle thing. Also, revelation, something I said I'd never do, and I did. I downloaded TikTok in my COVID frenzy. And to be honest, I don't like it. I mean, I'm not hooked on it yet just because everybody said I've not got my algorithm yet.
Now, you apparently have boobies on there, so.
Yeah, a lot of boobies on there.
That's.
Well, I checked that I was a male.
Are you looking at the boobies?
I swipe as fast as I can.
Good job.
I was looking for, you know, a lot of.
Don't be a smart ass.
I was looking for a lot of like diet stuff and fitness stuff, and but one of the things in my algorithm is all this entrepreneurial side hustle shit,
right? Like,
and I'm like, listen, I get it. I don't want. If I wanted to be a businessman, I'd have been a businessman. I couldn't sell shit.
No.
I can't get a motherfucker down on Amazon. I can't give them free. I can't get free stuff away on this podcast.
I told you, like, I feel this weird, in addition to that, like, build the life you want on the weekend. Like, I'm, you know, frustrated that we don't, like, we're not far along in our, like, economic health, I guess you could say. But yet at the same time, like, all this stuff is like, if you want it, you would work for it. You would be out side hustling right now. I'm like, but I also need a little bit of sleep and my kids need a mom.
There is a place for that. Like Gary Vaynerchuk's one of my favorite people on earth.
Sure.
And he talks about that, you know, how you manage your time. Like if you're wanting to be an entrepreneur or have side hustles, and he's one of those that doesn't just say, hey, go do this. Like he does it and shows you how to do it. Like mm-hmm. he'd go to yard sales on the weekend, flip and make hella money.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of memes about him doing that because he's like, you know, he talks the people down so much on the price, like you would at a yard sale, mm-hmm. and then makes an exorbitant amount of money on it. But he's like, if you're happy with what you're doing, this isn't for you. He's like, but if that's something you're seeking and you want to build a business, a brand, more money, whatever, this is how you have to do it.
I literally probably could make great money on the amount, like there's a crib.
OnlyFans.
Told you, feet pics only. The
janky feet.
I hate my knees. They're disgusting and fat. There's a crib full of clothes over there that if I wanted to, like, legit.
I've almost thrown those in the trash a thousand times.
Freaking do it. I'm going to take them. There's some that are so good. But I could go and make money off that. But, anytime I've tried to have, like, a Facebook market, blah, 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 I hate it.
It's so much of a hassle, too.
It's a hassle. But would Gary Vaynerchuk tell you about that? He would say, it's worth that. Like, is it worth it?
Yeah.
What are you doing with that money? Like, you want that money and, you know.
I guess it's all about priorities.
There's a part of me that, like, I love taking, like, repurposing furniture and repainting and stuff. But the minute I think that I'd have to do that for a job,
it's not fun anymore.
I would hate it. And I would get that's one part of my TikTok algorithm is all over the place. And that's one part. I watch people go and pick shit up off the side of the road or they go, but they spend their day. You know, this isn't a weekend side hustle. They spend their days going out and finding, you know, driving through streets and they live in areas where they'll just pick up something.
And I feel like we're not in a, like, even yard sale stuff, we're not in a good spot for that.
Right. It's just, you know, I went to, like, thrifting and stuff is on my TikTok, and I went to Goodwill today, and I do think it's interesting that certain Goodwills will reflect the sort of culture of the, like, even though Moorhead Goodwill is 30 minutes away from Mount Sterling Goodwill, they are definitely different. Like, I was looking at the bookshelves and just how different they are. There is a lot of religious left behind series texts.
It's a good Slipknot song.
And it's not that tons of that like Christian fiction stuff like that. And there was a teeny tiny section of YA stuff. Like,
I was hoping you'd say pornography. Somebody dropped off their old Playboys.
But here I find tons of YA books all the time and things that in classics and stuff that my kids read, but Moorhead also had a outrageous number of textbooks.
Textbooks. It's a college show.
But they were like teacher additions to stuff. And I was like, is somebody like breaking into the school? And
you
like,
know, those are all on the internet.
100%. Yes. There's a whole, I'm in an AP Lang teacher Facebook group, and these people get really irate because students have found teacher's editions, and what they've done is they've scanned them, and they're making money by selling to other kids.
Open source it, yeah.
So
I don't think you should be able to make money, but I think it should be available.
Here's the thing that I say to when they're like, has anybody had this problem with kids access? What are you teaching, or how are you assigning the work in a way that kids feel like their only answer and their only option to learn that information is to cheat and turn it in?
Well, here's the thing. Like, for me, this is how I found that out.
Yeah.
I have a class, mm-hmm. and then I get, like, these dumb worksheets.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just copy and paste the first question
yep.
on the worksheet, and then guess what happens?
Quizlet.
That whole fucking worksheet pops up. Not even that. I'm not paying for anything.
Right. You found it on the internet.
I found the worksheet, and then I found... So I had one with like 20 questions. I found one with like 100 questions on it.
Yeah.
That they'd taken those 20 questions out of. And I was like,
So my answer to that, and I never comment on these things. Somebody usually pipes up and says something like, you know, how my kids will never take essays home to write that I found the prompts online.
Like, yeah.
You know, they're going to write in front of me. But I never put that kind of pressure to be like, I need 12 pages of worksheets done by the end of the week. They're not going to do it. They're going to cheat to get it done because they don't have time either. So
no. And for me, like, I'm a very deductive learner. Like, give me two or three hints, or like, let me get the gist of what I'm of whatever the topic is. I'm gonna figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, my education classes, I'm in human growth and development. And it very much mirrors my psychology class.
Absolutely.
It's freaky. I'm not saying this. This is just fact. I don't read. I don't read the chapter. I don't have the hour to read this whole thing. So I start answering the questions, and then I figure out, like, okay, all right, I got this. And then I take the quiz, and I pass the quiz based on just learning the little nuance of all the subject matter,
the summaries and stuff.
Now, if they were to tighten up on the answers, I'd be fucked.
What if they were to ask you to write on the topic?
I'd be awful.
Right. So that is one of the most, like, that is a skill, but they don't, in the standardization of education to make it easier for them to grade it. That's how they do this, so that they can grade more
quickly.
But
they just want my money.
100%. I mean, that's... So, but in that, and that's what, and College Board and ACT and Pearson, they just want your money too. And so do, so
it's
do.
It's a Pearson.
Oh.
I have Pearson, yeah.
Shocking. And so do the legislators and the people who make these laws that say we have to take these standardized tests because they're getting kickbacks.
I just did a whole chapter on obviously I didn't read it, but they were a good thing in the beginning.
Sure. Everybody
standardized tests in the beginning were to increase the number. Like, it wasn't just I'm going to this one school and taking, like, I think it was Harvard or Brown or it was an Ivy League school.
Yeah.
They're like, we want a lot of people to come here.
So let's open this up.
So we're going to, like, it's not just we know the smart kids from Montgomery County High School can come here. We want to see what they all know, and we'll have to set a standard.
Right.
For what they know to come here. And it opened up higher education.
I have a love-hate relationship with, you know, data, which is what you're getting from this, is like it's a score to say it's achievement. What can you do? Because I do like knowing feedback from my kids about, you know, and quickly about what they can do or cannot do. And reading and writing are so mushy and time-consuming. It's hard to get that data back quickly when, you know, you're putting 30-some kids in a room together. I mean, I have two AP classes. That's 70. Now it's probably down to 65 kids since the start of the school year. That's a lot of essays to read, to give them feedback, to let them know how they're doing.
Right.
So can we do things like throw a test at them that's multiple choice that can get the same information? Or how do I, you know, fix that? So that becomes this issue. And then, you know, all of a sudden you're teaching a test because that is the standard. But now we're in the situation where we're testing our kids with ACT, and some schools are still using ACT and some schools aren't. And they're saying, like, you know what, what does it matter now? And then you have some schools that keep increasing the
score
because everybody's getting ACT prep.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? How the hell did we
supply and demand?
But, oh yeah, there were textbooks at the Goodwill. There were also some really cute 1970s Afghan quilts that I really wanted to buy.
Speaking of some old school decor, if you haven't already, the new season of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is out. But it's only two episodes, and that pisses me off.
But
because we probably wouldn't have done this podcast if the whole season.
We were watching it. I love it so much.
Such a good show, and
the costumes. Oh my god!
Yeah, her outfits are
beautiful. Like, you can just.
But this season's a little darker than the other ones. It's starting off a little. You can only go up from here.
Yeah.
But if you've watched the show is about.
But the whole time she has.
Miriam Maisel.
She has overcome everything and been.
Right.
Successful.
It's all been about the struggle of a female comic in the 50s?
Yes.
Or 60s.
I think it's more 60s.
Because her dad was looking for a 1957 edition of
So she has not had any, but at the same time, struggle is there, but she has had nothing but, like, surprising success, right? She is shocked.
Because she's funny as shit.
She's funny, and she shocked everybody, so she has never really had.
Spoiler, she got arrested for prostitution for just talking.
And it's only her second arrest. But every turn, and I think all the other seasons, everything is coming up roses for her. At some point, there may be some rejection along the way,
but it's
solid by the end of the episode. This time,
it's not looking good.
Right. From the last episode coming over into, or the last season coming into this one.
Yeah.
You know,
it's funny. It's smart. Like, Abby was watching it. I wasn't watching it in the beginning. And then I'm like, oh shit, I like this show.
I loved it.
So that's what we went. Ate Mexican. Ordered some DoorDash and watched
a couple episodes.
I did watch the new season of Rick and Morty.
I didn't realize that was a new season when it came in.
Yeah. Very powerful.
Very powerful.
It is. It's dark too.
Because we are living in dark ass times.
It's true. I mean, but like, and they cuss so much more. like every season it gets progressively worse. Like y'all know, I let Charlie watch the first season,
yeah.
And it was censored. Like they beeped out the cuss words. They don't need to beep them out no more.
I don't know why they need to beep them out. Your daughter's singing.
You let her watch a cream pie video, so play.
And she's singing every, you know, singing Tupac now. So we're just really raising a fine, upstanding.
Also, if you are anywhere near the Mount Starling area, March 1st, 2nd, 3rd.
4th, 5th, 5th and 6th.
I mean, you can probably sneak in the 1st, 2nd, or 3rd. She's going to be in probably her last play. I don't know. You think she'll do it in high school?
I do. I do. Well, I don't know. I want to say she will. She
is Ursula in The Little Mermaid. We've talked about this, but listen, I told Abby this. I will probably bawl my eyes out.
It's awesome. She, like, we were looking, so she, like, her 7th grade year, she was in a play, but I didn't get to see it.
6th grade year.
6th grade year.
Nothing 7th grade year.
Oh, yeah, nothing 7th grade, but 6th grade year, she was in a play we didn't get to see. So the last thing, I mean, she's never had a middle school play.
She's, all of her experience mostly is in middle school play or Missoula.
When she was in elementary school, yeah. So.
And she was always, like, the ensemble supporting it. She's a lead role, so.
I'm a nervous wreck for her. You know.
But you got, like, if you know Charlie Thomas and they said, okay, we're going to do The Little Mermaid, what character would she be?
Ursula.
Damn right she's going to be Ursula.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She, it's hard, I think, for her because 8th graders are brutal. 8th graders are complete jerks. When anybody is being vulnerable.
I feel like she's really embracing her daddy's traits, though.
I don't.
She's had to take some hard lessons about it, but.
I don't know that it's good all the time.
I didn't say it's good.
There are some things that we need to shift.
There's
more.
There's a good balance somewhere.
Shift
there.
More team mom a little bit. But
team
anyway.
Mom. Yeah. Team mom.
Team mom. We don't need teen mom. No. Shit. Nope. Anyway. She, the vulnerability, like being an 8th grader and being vulnerable is insane. You can't do
everybody it. Cares what everybody thinks.
Yeah. Meanwhile, everybody only cares what they're doing themselves. Like they're all self-centered at the same time. Yeah. So it's such a weird, weird season in life. I've been talking to friends who teach freshmen and they're, you know, asking like, when do they get to be empathetic? I was like, oh, it's not. No. They're still, and because our kids are a little bit still socially delayed from everything, it's not coming anytime soon. They struggle, and I'm talking very holistically. There are outliers for sure, but it's just, it's not because of, I want to think that some of it's just development, you know, that they still, they're thinking about themselves. Even Charlie is still in this mode and mindset, despite how much we've poured into her about thinking about others and not caring what others think. She's still very self-conscious. So she's super nervous, I think. When she's in the play, and she's in that element, and she's around other theater kids or the high school theater kids are around, she knows her worth.
Yes.
She has her confidence.
She gets that validation through them. Yes. And yes.
But the minute you put her in a room with kids who don't get it, and kids who aren't theater kids, and kids who she thinks, you know, have something to say about what she's doing, or, you know, popularity or whatever, I can see that shifting on her, and that nervousness comes up. And so I'm nervous for her to know that that 8th grade performance, that's hard, man. She's going to get up in front of her peers and sing and dance and do this thing that she's amazing at. It's a little different than sports, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But she's entertaining, and that's so vulnerable. So I'm so proud of her for this. I don't think she'll ever, you know, theater and the arts are insurmountable in what they give people for the rest of their life. But... Man.
I had her sing for me today.
I heard her. I was in the bedroom. What'd you think?
She wasn't giving it her A game to me. I wanted her to belt that shit out, but she wouldn't do it.
I don't think she will in front of you. I want to think she will on stage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but don't hold back. Just throw that out there. But I don't know, we're apparently an Ursula costume is one of the most difficult things that you can come up with. And everybody has their own interpretation of it and what it's going to look like. And how do you make the tentacles move? And what do you want to do with them? And
I would prefer she was like Doc Ock. And they propped
her up. When they first called me and they were in, like, we didn't know what to do. And I was apparently in charge of these tentacles. I was like, robotics. How can we make them move? And I was like,
Dr. Octavius.
They think they want me involved in this, but they don't know how extra I can be. And so then I got pulled from the project a couple times. So I think they've got a plan, and I'm sure it will be beautiful and wonderful. And I was just on set the other day, and it's like, I can't believe it's middle school theater and what that looks like. And
yeah, but damn, she's been practicing since October.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we're going to do track and then swim, maybe throw a gym class in there this summer. Our baby girl's going to be in high school.
We're scheduling high school classes next week, and I want to vomit. So...
We're such young parents, too.
We are. 20-something, I think.
I don't know. I feel like we just graduated high school. And then in 2 years, Charlie may have Abby in class, which
Depending on what she takes. Can you imagine her with her friends in class with me? Does she call me? I'm going to make her call me Miss Thomas.
Yeah.
That's the only thing she can do. I bet she doesn't say a word.
Probably not.
I bet I just have to look at her.
One good embarrassing story and it's lights out.
The thing is I've had to shut that down now. I'm thinking of just my welcome to school.
Yeah.
Welcome to school PowerPoint, whatever, slides.
You got pictures of her on there?
100%. Yeah. My kids. And these are my, this is my, what do I do? Black her face out, with a big
picture or something.
Like a censor. I should. She is such a fun kid. She has so many fun photos.
But I swear to God, she needs a good slap upside the head sometimes.
You wouldn't do it.
No, but I'd talk Harlan into doing it.
Harlan would.
I took you to see Heather the other day. He said, I'll punch you.
He said that?
Where did he pick that up at?
Know. Oh, you're
and
kidding.
And then Abby, the other night, he's like, I wonder if he would like to watch wrestling. I was like, no.
Like the sport, not like.
Not like WWE.
Yeah.
Listen, if you guys made it this far, we love you. This is always fun. It's way more fun. There's no kids upstairs. No, we got to go up there and deal with those little assholes.
Usually they're yelling, or I hear somebody lingering by the door.
Remember, you can, I don't know if I said, go see Charlie's play. If you're in the Mount Sterling area, a lot of people listen from Mount Sterling. 2 weekends. It's also Abby's birthday weekend. That can be your gift to her.
I'll be selling tickets on Friday night. Come see me 2 hours
discounted,
early.
Going right in our pocket.
I'm
scalping tickets to.
If you get there two, you need to get there 2 hours. Ticket sales start 2 hours before the shows.
Yeah.
I would suggest getting there early.
My mom's bringing a squad.
A squad?
Yeah.
You got to get there early, get those tickets.
Don't forget, get amazonmusic.com/closeenough. We have a Facebook page. We have an Instagram. We don't post there a lot. One day we'll get really good at doing social media. We also have a TikTok.
We do.
Which is used to be Abby's personal TikTok.
TikToks are really time consuming.
I haven't. So I'm doing a podcast here at the house tomorrow. And Dave's like, we should TikTok our bourbon reviews.
There's no way.
I don't even know how to fucking do it.
No, you have 3 minutes. What are you going to do? Splice them together real fast?
I guess. I don't know.
It's hard.
TikToks, show our faces.
TikTok takes time. Wow.
I don't know. We love you guys. Abby, I love you.
I love you.
You go upstairs and watch something else on TV because we ain't got no kids.
We need to clean our house, dude.
Got all day tomorrow. If you like us, give this a share. Review it on whatever platform you listen to. And listen to some Tupac as we ride off into the sunset.
Bye. Shut like dope. Is you-
a friend or foe. Nigga, you ain't know. They got me stressed out on death row. I seen money, but baby, I got to get more. You screaming go to pop, and I ain't stopping till I'm well paid. Bills paid now, nigga, look what hell made. Visions of cops and sirens. Niggas open fire, bunch of thug life. Niggas on the ride until I die. Ask me why I'm a boss player getting high. And when I'm rolling by, niggas can't see me.
The stairs of a million pairs of eyes, and you'll never realize. You can't.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.